Human fear of miasma would load with disease the air of Eden and weigh down mankind with superimposed and conjectural evils. Mortal mind is the worst foe of the body, while divine mind is its best friend. Should all cases of organic disease be treated by a regular practitioner, and the Christian Scientist try truth only in cases of hysteria, hypochondria, and hallucination? One disease is no more real than another. All disease is the result of education. And disease can carry its ill effects no farther than mortal mind maps out the way. The human mind, not matter, is supposed to feel, suffer, and joy. Hence, decided types of acute disease are quite as ready to yield to truth as the less distinct type and chronic form of disease. Truth handles the most malignant contagion with perfect assurance. Human mind produces what is termed organic disease as certainly as it produces hysteria. And it must relinquish all its errors, sicknesses, and sins. I have demonstrated this beyond all cavil. The evidence of divine mind's healing power and absolute control is to me as certain as the evidence of my own existence. Mortal mind and body are one. Neither exists without the other, and both must be destroyed by immortal mind. Matter, or body, is but a false concept of mortal mind. This so-called mind builds its own superstructure, of which the material body is the grosser portion. But from first to last, the body is a sensuous human concept. In the scriptural allegory of the material creation, Adam, or error, which represents the erroneous theory of life and intelligence in matter, had the naming of all that was material. These names indicated matter's properties, qualities, and forms. But a lie, the opposite of truth, cannot name the qualities and effects of what is termed matter and create the so-called laws of the flesh, nor can a lie hold the preponderance of power in any direction against God, Spirit, and truth. If a dose of poison is swallowed through mistake, and the patient dies even though physician and patient are expecting favorable results, does human belief, you ask, cause this death? Even so, and as directly as if the poison had been intentionally taken. In such cases, a few persons believe the potion swallowed by the patient to be harmless, but the vast majority of mankind, though they know nothing of this particular case and this special person, believe the arsenic, the strychnine, or whatever the drug used, to be poisonous, for it is set down as a poison by mortal mind. Consequently, the result is controlled by the majority of opinions, not by the infinitesimal minority of opinions in the sick chamber. Heredity is not a law. The remote cause or belief of disease is not dangerous because of its priority and the connection of past mortal thoughts with present. The predisposing cause and the exciting cause are mental. Perhaps an adult has a deformity produced prior to his birth by the fright of his mother. When wrested from human belief and based on science or the divine mind to which all things are possible, that chronic case is not difficult to cure. Mortal mind, acting from the basis of sensation in matter, is animal magnetism. But this so-called mind, from which comes all evil, contradicts itself and must finally yield to the eternal truth or the divine mind expressed in science. In proportion to our understanding of Christian Science, we are freed from the belief of heredity, of mind in matter, or animal magnetism, and we disarm sin of its imaginary power in proportion to our spiritual understanding of the status of immortal being. Ignorant of the methods and the basis of metaphysical healing, you may attempt to unite with it hypnotism, spiritualism, electricity. But none of these methods can be mingled with metaphysical healing. Whoever reaches the understanding of Christian Science in its proper signification will perform the sudden cures of which it is capable. But this can be done only by taking up the cross and following Christ in the daily life. Science can heal the sick who are absent from their healers as well as those present, since space is no obstacle to mind. Immortal mind heals what eye hath not seen, but the spiritual capacity to apprehend thought and to heal by the truth power is won only as man is found not in self-righteousness, but reflecting the divine nature. Every medical method has its advocates. The preference of mortal mind for a certain method creates a demand for that method, and the body then seems to require such treatment. You can even educate a healthy horse so far in physiology that he will take cold without his blanket, whereas the wild animal, left to his instincts, sniffs the wind with delight. The epizootic is a humanly evolved ailment, which a wild horse might never have. Treatises on anatomy, physiology, and health, sustained by what is termed material law, are the promoters of sickness and disease. It should not be proverbial that so long as you read medical works, you will be sick. The sedulous matron, studying her jar with homeopathic pellet and powder in hand, ready to put you into a sweat, to move the bowels, or to produce sleep, is unwittingly sowing the seeds of reliance on matter, and her household may ere long reap the effect of this mistake. Descriptions of disease given by physicians and advertisements of quackery are both prolific sources of sickness. As mortal mind is the husbandman of error, it should be taught to do the body no harm and to uproot its false sowing. The patient sufferer tries to be satisfied when he sees his would-be healers busy, and his faith in their efforts is somewhat helpful to them and to himself. But in science, one must understand the resuscitating law of life. This is the seed within itself bearing fruit after its kind, spoken of in Genesis. Physicians should not deport themselves as if mind were non-existent, nor take the ground that all causation is matter instead of mind. Ignorant that the human mind governs the body, its phenomenon, the invalid may unwittingly add more fear to the mental reservoir already overflowing with that emotion. Doctors should not implant disease in the thoughts of their patients, as they so frequently do, by declaring disease to be a fixed fact, even before they go to work to eradicate the disease through the material faith which they inspire. Instead of furnishing thought with fear, they should try to correct this turbulent element of mortal mind by the influence of divine love which casteth out fear. When man is governed by God, the ever-present mind who understands all things, man knows that with God all things are possible. The only way to this living truth which heals the sick is found in the science of divine mind as taught and demonstrated by Christ Jesus. To reduce inflammation, dissolve a tumor, or cure organic disease, I have found divine truth more potent than all lower remedies. And why not? Since mind, God, is the source and condition of all existence. Before deciding that the body matter is disordered, one should ask, "Who art thou that repliest to spirit? Can matter speak for itself, or does it hold the issues of life?" Matter, which can neither suffer nor enjoy, has no partnership with pain and pleasure, but mortal belief has such a partnership. When you manipulate patients, you trust in electricity and magnetism more than in truth, and for that reason, you employ matter rather than mind. You weaken or destroy your power when you resort to any except spiritual means. It is foolish to declare that you manipulate patients, but that you lay no stress on manipulation. If this be so, why manipulate? In reality, you manipulate because you are ignorant of the baneful effects of magnetism, or are not sufficiently spiritual to depend on spirit. In either case, you must improve your mental condition till you finally attain the understanding of Christian Science. If you are too material to love the science of mind and are satisfied with good words instead of effects, if you adhere to error and are afraid to trust truth, the question then recurs, "Adam, where art thou?" It is unnecessary to resort to aught besides mind in order to satisfy the sick that you are doing something for them, for if they are cured, they generally know it and are satisfied. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you have more faith in drugs than in truth, this faith will incline you to the side of matter and error. Any hypnotic power you may exercise will diminish your ability to become a scientist, and vice versa. The act of healing the sick through divine mind alone, of casting out error with truth, shows your position as a Christian Scientist. The demands of God appeal to thought only, but the claims of mortality and what are termed laws of nature appertain to matter. Which, then, are we to accept as legitimate and capable of producing the highest human good? We cannot obey both physiology and spirit, for one absolutely destroys the other, and one or the other must be supreme in the affections. It is impossible to work from two standpoints. If we attempt it, we shall presently hold to the one and despise the other. The hypotheses of mortals are antagonistic to science and cannot mix with it. This is clear to those who heal the sick on the basis of science. Mind's government of the body must supersede the so-called laws of matter. Obedience to material law prevents full obedience to spiritual law, the law which overcomes material conditions and puts matter under the feet of mind. Mortals entreat the divine mind to heal the sick, and forthwith shut out the aid of mind by using material means, thus working against themselves and their prayers, and denying man's God-given ability to demonstrate mind's sacred power. Pleas for drugs and laws of health come from some sad incident, or else from ignorance of Christian Science and its transcendent power. To admit that sickness is a condition over which God has no control is to presuppose that omnipotent power is powerless on some occasions. The law of Christ, or truth, makes all things possible to spirit. But the so-called laws of matter would render spirit of no avail and demand obedience to materialistic codes, thus departing from the basis of one God, one lawmaker. To suppose that God constitutes laws of inharmony is a mistake. Discords have no support from nature or divine law, however much is said to the contrary. Can the agriculturalist, according to belief, produce a crop without sowing the seed and awaiting its germination according to the laws of nature? The answer is no. And yet the scriptures inform us that sin or error first caused the condemnation of man to till the ground and indicate that obedience to God will remove this necessity. Truth never made error necessary, nor devised a law to perpetuate error. The supposed laws which result in weariness and disease are not his laws, for the legitimate and only possible action of truth is the production of harmony. Laws of nature are laws of spirit, but mortals commonly recognize law that which hides the power of spirit. Divine mind rightly demands man's entire obedience, affection, and strength. No reservation is made for any lesser loyalty. Obedience to truth gives man power and strength. Submission to error superinduces loss of power. Truth casts out all evils and materialistic methods with the actual spiritual law, the law which gives sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, voice to the dumb, feet to the lame. If Christian Science dishonors human belief, it honors spiritual understanding, and the one mind only is entitled to honor. The so-called laws of health are simply laws of mortal belief. The premises being erroneous, the conclusions are wrong. Truth makes no laws to regulate sickness, sin, and death, for these are unknown to truth and should not be recognized as reality. Belief produces the results of belief, and the penalties it affixes last so long as the belief and are inseparable from it. The remedy consists in probing the trouble to the bottom, in finding and casting out by denial the error of belief which produces a mortal disorder. Never honoring erroneous belief with the title of law, nor yielding obedience to it. Truth, life, and love are the only legitimate and eternal demands on man, and they are spiritual lawgivers, enforcing obedience through divine statutes. Controlled by the divine intelligence, man is harmonious and eternal. Whatever is governed by a false belief is discordant and mortal. We say man suffers from the effects of cold, heat, fatigue. This is human belief, not the truth of being, for matter cannot suffer. Mortal mind alone suffers, not because a law of matter has been transgressed, but because a law of this so-called mind has been disobeyed. I have demonstrated this as a rule of divine science by destroying the delusion of suffering from what is termed a fatally broken physical law. A woman whom I cured of consumption always breathed with great difficulty when the wind was from the east. I sat silently by her side a few moments. Her breath came gently. The inspirations were deep and natural. I then requested her to look at the weather vane. She looked and saw that it pointed due east. The wind had not changed, but her thought of it had, and so her difficulty in breathing had gone. The wind had not produced the difficulty. My metaphysical treatment changed the action of her belief on the lungs, and she never suffered again from east winds, but was restored to health. No system of hygiene but Christian Science is purely mental. Before this book was published, other books were in circulation which discussed mental medicine and mind cure, operating through the power of the earth's magnetic currents to regulate life and health. Such theories and such systems of so-called mind cure which have sprung up are as material as the prevailing systems of medicine. They have their birth in mortal mind, which puts forth a human conception in the name of science to match the divine science of immortal mind, even as the necromancers of Egypt strove to emulate the wonders wrought by Moses. Such theories have no relationship to Christian Science, which rests on the conception of God as the only life, substance, and intelligence, and excludes the human mind as a spiritual factor in the healing work. Jesus cast out evil and healed the sick, not only without drugs, but without hypnotism, which is the reverse of ethical and pathological truth power. Erroneous mental practice may seem for a time to benefit the sick, but the recovery is not permanent. This is because erroneous methods act on and through the material stratum of the human mind, called brain, which is but a mortal consolidation of material mentality and its suppositional activities. A patient under the influence of mortal mind is healed only by removing the influence on him of this mind, by emptying his thought of the false stimulus and reaction of willpower, and filling it with the divine energies of truth. Christian Science destroys material beliefs through the understanding of spirit, and the thoroughness of this work determines health. Erring human mind forces can work only evil under whatever name or pretense they are employed. For spirit and matter, good and evil, light and darkness cannot mingle. Evil is a negation because it is the absence of truth. It is nothing because it is the absence of something. It is unreal because it presupposes the absence of God, the omnipotent and omnipresent. Every mortal must learn that there is neither power nor reality in evil. Evil is self-assertive. It says, I am a real entity overmastering good. This falsehood should strip evil of all pretensions. The only power of evil is to destroy itself. It can never destroy one iota of good. Every attempt of evil to destroy good is a failure, and only aids in peremptorily punishing the evildoer. If we concede the same reality to discord as to harmony, discord has as lasting a claim upon us as has harmony. If evil is as real as good, evil is also as immortal. If death is as real as life, immortality is a myth. If pain is as real as the absence of pain, both must be immortal. And if so, harmony cannot be the law of being. Mortal mind is ignorant of self, or it could never be self-deceived. If mortal mind knew how to be better, it would be better. Since it must believe in something besides itself, it enthrones matter as deity. The human mind has been an idolater from the beginning, having other gods and believing in more than the one mind. As mortals do not comprehend even mortal existence, how ignorant must they be of the all-knowing mind and of his creations. Here you may see how so-called material sense creates its own forms of thought, gives them material names, and then worships and fears them. With pagan blindness, it attributes to some material god or medicine an ability beyond itself. The beliefs of the human mind rob and enslave it, and then impute this result to another elusive personification named Satan. The valves of the heart, opening and closing for the passage of the blood, obey the mandate of mortal mind as directly as does the hand, admittedly moved by the will. Anatomy allows the mental cause of the latter action, but not of the former. We say, my hand hath done it. What is this my, but mortal mind, the cause of all materialistic action? All voluntary as well as miscalled involuntary action of the mortal body is governed by this so-called mind, not by matter. There is no involuntary action. The divine mind includes all action and volition, and man in science is governed by this mind. The human mind tries to classify action as voluntary and involuntary and suffers from the attempt. If you take away this erring mind, the mortal material body loses all appearance of life or action, and this so-called mind then calls itself dead. But the human mind still holds in belief a body, through which it acts and which appears to the human mind to live, a body like the one it had before death. This body is put off only as the mortal, erring mind yields to God, immortal mind, and man is found in his image.